Yeah, in the beginning part of my life was a search for significance. If I'm successful, then I'll be somebody. Yeah. I was happy when I achieved that outcome for 1 nanosecond. Yeah. Oh, yay! Yeah. Then immediately my brain goes, what's next? Yeah. It's really important. One of the key things that I realized is that if I don't enjoy the journey, I won't enjoy the outcome. So I recommend highly, if you want to go from 6 to 7 figures, 7 to 8 figures, take up boxing, take up karate, take up, you know, Thai, Muay Thai, kickboxing, some kind of contact sport, it will make a huge difference in your life. First hour when you wake up, for really first 2 hours after you wake up, yeah, these are your golden hours. So I would say happiness is a moment-to-moment choice.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. Our mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, but let's do it together. Help me by being the best version of yourself and truly do something with your life. This week, we are meeting with a super interesting person. He is one of the youngest to ever earn a PhD from UCLA, but he realized very early that having an awesome title or quote-unquote successful job will not always lead to happiness. Because of this, he decided to go his own way and creating life on his own terms. His name is CK Lin, and he's a high-performance coach. Welcome, CK.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, let's do this. As I said, you're picking up your mom in about 49 minutes.
Okay.
So let's try to be effective and have some fun.
Absolutely.
The first thing I'm curious about, who is CK as a person? Truly.
That's a very tough question to answer.
Yeah.
It depends on how you're asking the question. If you're asking my accomplishments, I can list them for you. If you ask him what I care about, I can list them for you. I would say the overarching theme of my life is the pursuit of wisdom. My first part of my life was all about acquiring knowledge because I thought that was the path to a fulfilling life, to success and fulfillment. So as such, I just disregard everything else in my life, any kind of relationships, any kind of fun, was merely I bury my head in books. And so I can go into more of it, but there's a lot of turning points in my life. But a short answer to your question is, I'm all about pursuing wisdom.
Yeah. And what do you care about? What do you care most about in your life?
What I care most about in my life? I obsess over what it takes to raise consciousness for individuals, for organizations, for communities, and for the world. That's what I obsess over.
Awesome. Is it good to be obsessed?
I think so. I think there is a good fine balance. Yeah. Just like any tool that you have, you can use a tool for good or you can use a tool for evil. Yeah. Like anything. If you are obsessed about your passion, but at the cost of your personal well-being, your relationships, your sanity, that's not so good.
And I know, like, we want to talk more about that, but I think it was one of your professors who said that a degree is a bridge to where you want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, can you just talk about that concept and what that means?
No, interesting. So I see that you did some research. A degree is which to reach where you want. I mean, really, that's actually a very wise statement. Because ultimately, everything that we do is a proxy to some emotional state we want to feel.
Yeah.
Even success, even money, even, you know, romantic relationship, even service in a charity organization of sorts.
Yeah.
Why do we do all of that? Well, it's because we feel a particular way after we had that meal, you know, had a relationship or, achieve certain amount of significance and success, receive that Oscar award.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember last week when your new friend introduced you to our group when we met. And one thing that I thought was very interesting was that you became this PhD and you're in this room with all the PhDs, the smart professors, and you see like these people are not happy. Mm-hmm. Like how was it to realize that? Because I know I was a world medalist and it's like 20 years in the making to mm-hmm. to have that moment of like gratification. And mm-hmm. it's fun. Mm-hmm. But like 2-3 weeks later, I got fired from my job. So mm-hmm. it's like I'm up here and then I'm down here. Mm-hmm. But then I realized like it's fun. These things are amazing, but it doesn't change who you are mm-hmm. unless you change, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how was it to like realize that?
Yeah, it's interesting. My goal, my journey, the first part of my journey, I would say the first 25 years of my life has always been an outcome driven type of journey. When I achieve this, then I'll be happy. When I get that straight A, I'll be happy. When I get that girl, I'll be happy. When I get my bachelor degree, I'll be happy. My master's, I'll be happy. When I turn 25, I'll be happy. When I turn 30, I'll be happy. When I get my PhD, I'll be happy. Yeah. And the interesting thing is when I lived my life that way, I was happy when I achieved that outcome for 1 nanosecond. Yeah. Oh, yay! Yeah. Then immediately my brain goes, what's next? I couldn't even enjoy walking across the platform when I received my PhD.
It's like I recognize myself in you because when I was 18, I became a national champion in karate as a junior. And on the car driving home from the competition, instead of celebrating, I was like, fuck, how should I be able to win next year, because it's that kind of thing, like I didn't enjoy it because I just had that so much pressure. And then over the years, it took me maybe 10 years, I learned how to handle these things and know that it is about the journey, even though it's just, everybody says it, but I believe it's true that mm-hmm. to enjoy the everyday life and the pursuit of growth. Mm-hmm. But like how have you learned to handle those kind of things now? And how did you do?
Yeah, so it's really important. One of the key things that I realized is that if I don't enjoy the journey, I won't enjoy the outcome. It's so important. I want to say that one more time. If I don't enjoy the journey, I won't enjoy the outcome. So what that means to me now is every day, even when times and when it's frustrating, when I'm not, getting the results that I want, or when people don't respond to me in a way that I wish for. The important thing to remember is everything is a gift. It's either a blessing that I achieved this outcome that I want, or an opportunity for growth. Yeah. And to use that as a mantra all the time. That's how I can remain present in this moment. Otherwise, it's very easy for me to resort back to how I was, an outcome-driven life.
Yeah. And like, was that, let's do a big jump now. So you started and did this inner work, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I know that we, like last week when we met, we were talking about that you're starting a retreat for mm-hmm. ayahuasca, right? Mm-hmm. So can you just share like, how did you go from reading a Tony Robbins book to get into ayahuasca?
Well, so we're jumping around a little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted to share with you, your audience, that the way I looked at the world is through systems and processes. I'm an engineer by heart, by training and by heart. So that's how I look at everything, systems and processes. I can kind of see the matrix, right? The inner workings of the matrix behind the scenes. So when I first started, I started hacking academic. Like, how do you get as high of a grade as possible academically? Then I got to graduate school. I hit my bottleneck. And then I realized, oh, okay, so there is another game that I couldn't figure out. Let me figure it out that way, right? And I figured it out. It became the one of the youngest PhDs from at UCLA. Then I realized at that point, I didn't really want to pursue a career in science. What I was really interested inside of the pursuit of science was the aha moment. Then I realized, oh, let me go create more aha moments for other professors. Then I went into what was one of the youngest directors from the University of California to represent Nobel laureates and esteemed professors to international organizations. Then I realized that wasn't really the path I wanted to take on, because I would look across the table, I saw myself in 15, 20 years. They had a lot of knowledge, but in my mind, they weren't particularly fulfilled or happy. Then, because to me, apply knowledge is wisdom. They didn't apply it. They had a lot of acquired knowledge, but they didn't quite apply it into their day-to-day behavior and into their day-to-day lives, right? Okay, then I said to myself, all right, so if acquiring more knowledge is not it, let me actually go to the world of entrepreneurship. Let me go hang out with people who have a lot of stuff, success. So then I worked my way up to the TED conference, and I started hanging around the likes of Jeff Bezos of Amazon, you know, the Larry Pages of Google, and all these people around them, right? We're not best friends or anything, but I was close enough with them to really watch how they interact with one another, and see how they just really the embodiment. Are they truly happy? You know, even though they have all of the money, all of the accolades, all of the titles in the world, I wasn't sure that was the style that I really want.
Yeah. Were they happy, or what was your opinion?
My opinion? Yeah. On the surface, yeah, but I didn't really interact with them, yeah. So I don't know what behind closed doors, what are they like, right? Yeah. But on the surface, they seem happy.
Okay.
But I also had really intimate conversations with other entrepreneurs who had a lot of stuff, and they didn't seem much happier either. Because money ultimately is like fuel. If you spend all your time looking for gasoline, you know, you're kind of wasting your car trip, right? How do you enjoy the journey? Yeah. Money is great, don't get me wrong. Money is fuel to achieve some outcome, take you from point A to point B. But what are you gonna do with that fuel? That's the question, right? So I was a little bit lost, even though at that time, even though I had some moderate success as an entrepreneur. Then I had the privilege of being in very close proximity with the Dalai Lama. We were about 10 feet away with each other, right? And then at that point, I was very curious about, what's leadership? What's compassion? What's empathy? But I was still really studying it from the mechanical point of view. So I was watching what the Dalai Lama was saying, what's his movement, and what was he saying topically. But his words started to trickle into my head. And within minutes, I was bawling, crying, for no reason. It wasn't anything he said, but it was his way of being. His presence filled the entire room, filled the entire space. The self-inquiry, the question to myself was, what is the main difference between that man and this man, CK? And then that was a pivotal moment for me that really started the inquiry of going inward, deeper, not just intellectual, but emotional, spiritual. So then soon after that, I got into my first ayahuasca experience, personally. And I had the answer in the experience. I've been speaking about compassion and empathy on the theoretical sense for many years. I could give you a great model. I can cite some quotes. I can recommend books to you. So I had a knowledge, but I had one experience with the Dalai Lama, but I wasn't certainly embody, compassion or empathy. So within 45 minutes of the ayahuasca experience, I experience fully compassion, collective consciousness. We are always one, that collective, that one love that everyone's talking about. So that spiritual experience. And that opened my whole world up in a whole different way that no other books, thousands and thousands of books I've read, no other interactions that I've encountered really put me into that state. So in my mind, why I'm so passionate about this particular path, it's not for everyone. For those who are one day accelerated path, coaching plus ayahuasca, in my mind, is the fastest way, the most effective way to get to the core of truth, not the truth, but one's own truth, right? So what I wanted you to imagine is this. So imagine layers of like an onion, right? Yeah. So in the outermost layer, you have the body. Then that's the most concrete, things you can touch and feel. Then you have your thoughts, then you have your feelings, then you have your spirit, your awareness. How do you get to the innermost part of who you really are? And how do you experience that? You know, to me, this is the most direct path to do that. Yeah.
And what's your, like, do you have any specific routines in your life, like morning routines?
I do.
Yeah, can you share that with us? Like, how does that improve your life? Because one thing that I noticed when I saw you is like, you're sitting straight, you're strong. Like, it seems like you have a lot, you're taking care of yourself. You carry yourself in a certain way. Mm. And I love that when I see people who carry themselves in a certain way, because it means that you're invested in this life, you know? Mm. And can you just share that?
Sure. I'll just go sequentially and then we can kind of unpack and why or how long or whatever.
Yeah.
So in an ideal day, I'm not perfect every day, but in an ideal day, what I do is I wake up and I drink.
What time?
Not a specific time. Usually I set my alarm in 6 hours from the time I go to sleep. Okay. Yeah. Ideally 7, but 6 hours is enough. So 6 hours, and I wake up, and then I roll out of bed. I then have a drink of water with some lemon and salt to hydrate my body, and obviously take care of my whatever I gotta do in the bathroom, brush my teeth, whatnot. And then right away, I go sit in my meditation on my meditation cushion. I started writing, free journaling. Just download whatever thoughts that I have. And then I will go into my sauna. Yeah. And then I will sit there for roughly 20 to 30 minutes and just let everything activate my body. And then I meditate. These days, I meditate listening to this book called Conversations with God. Yeah. It's a very powerful book.
I heard that.
I recommend it highly. Yeah. It's really, really good. And then after that, cold shower. Yeah. And then after that, I go boxing. Mm. Boxing for an hour with a trainer. And then come back and then shower again and I have my breakfast and whatnot. But I wanted to share, for those of you that are listening, especially those of you who are high performers who want to take your business from 6 to 7 figures to 7 to 8 figure, I recommend any kind of martial arts. Boxing is my latest, and I can tell you already, Chinese people call it qi.
Yeah.
Yoga people call prana. That it's that inner fire that in you. When you engage in competitive impact, like you actually hear the impact of like a karate or something, your qi is turned up. And when you are an entrepreneur making things happen in the world, you want your qi to be strong. So I recommend highly, if you want to go from six to seven figures, seven to eight figures, take up boxing, take up karate, take up, you know, Thai, Muay Thai, kickboxing, some kind of contact sport, it will make a huge difference in your life.
I think it's amazing. And thanks for sharing your morning routine. It's it's pretty cool. And it's almost like we're on a freeway sometimes, right? Like cars are coming so fast that we don't know what to do with all our decisions and creating our life. And all of a sudden we make bad decisions, and one bad decision leads to another bad decision. And how do we get out of that so we can actually look at our life and say, this is what I want, and this is how I'm going to create it, and I'm going to react?
Yeah, that's why I believe the you know, the first hour when you wake up, for really first 2 hours after you wake up, these are your golden hours. Because at that point, it's when your willpower is your strongest, when you don't have any other clutter that you already declutter at night while you're asleep. And you can really use that time to focus on the most important things in your life. So in that, you can cultivate your awareness, doing meditation, doing yoga, whatever it is that you do, your own meditative practice as a way to cultivate that level of awareness. Then you can really, what's a better word, what analogy to share? Kind of like every time you meditate, you are cultivating a wellspring of resilience, of strength, of inner strength. Every time you do that, the more you do that, the more you'll be able to withstand any kind of waves and large waves that's coming to you. I'm kind of mixing analogies, but you can imagine, like, every time you meditate, you can now just, you're growing your own mass. You're on the ocean. The bigger boat you have, the more stable you're able to withstand bigger waves.
No, I for me, I see the benefits. I'm working on my meditation every day, and it's improving my life. And I see, like, 90% of the guests that I have on my podcast, they meditate, they have good morning routines. But then we have those guys that might be listening, or girls who listen to this and said, this is not for me. I don't meditate. I don't need that in my life. Like, what do we want to say to those people?
Well, I'd say when it's their time, it's their time. Because when I first started meditation, I couldn't even sit still for 8 minutes. I saw a lot of people recommending it. I even read a book called 8-Minute Meditation. I couldn't do it. Every time I tried to do it, I just fell asleep. But when it was my time, then it was my time. And now it's one of those most powerful practices I love. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've been on a pretty cool journey now in your life, and now you're helping others. Would you, are you happy now?
I would say, so here's the thing. You're asking this question as if happiness is a destination. Yeah. So I would say happiness is a moment-to-moment choice. Yeah. Right now, I'm having a really great conversation. And this, to me, this kind of conversation is the most fulfilling conversations I have. I this is the reason why I started a podcast, because I love it so much, right? But are there challenges in life? Of course. You know, are there uncertainties in my life? Of course. Are there relationships that could be better? Can my health be better? Just, you know, like everything else, life is coming at me at, you know, 100 miles an hour. Right, especially the bigger stage I'm at, right? The bigger games, the bigger relationships, et cetera, et cetera, that I wanted to create. But as I shared with you earlier, the best thing that I could do is really to be in this present moment. And actually, let me share one mental model with you. And this is an aspirational behavior that I want, but I'm not there yet. But I'm learning from this very wise guest that I have on my guest. His name is Jun Yoon. He runs a $2.5 billion hedge fund, right? And I'm asking questions about intentions and goals, and like, how does he set his intentions? What are his strategies, right? And he just kind of smiled and looked at me, and he said to me, you know, I really do my best not to have any goals. He's living a goalless life. I'm like, how is that possible? What do you mean you don't have any goals? This is what I gather from what he shared. He's essentially saying, giving this moment the awareness that he has on all the data that he has, what is the best decision or choice he can make in this, right now? Not looking forward to, not projection, not looking at the past or regretting the past, right? No craving or aversion, just in this present moment. Here's all the data. What's the best next step? And that's all he focused on, the next
step. It's so interesting. I met a guy today. He said the same thing. I don't like having goals because then I kind of limit myself, he said. And I never thought it that way, but it's quite interesting. And this is, we're talking about high levels. They have goals, but they don't, it's in a different kind of way because they've come very far, which is interesting. And a lot of times I saw it in my own life. I think it is important to have goals. But for me, sometimes I was so narrow-minded because I set my mind on something and I had to do it, even though I realized on the way that it was the wrong thing. I didn't know that when I set the goal, but then I realized that, but I said, I've decided to do this. I need to do it. But sometimes we need to deviate, right? If we find a better solution, don't you think?
Yeah, I think goals are great to set a direction and take action towards it. But when new data shows up, that could be interesting or curious, get curious about it.
Yeah.
Then you're open to new path.
Yeah.
After all, speaking from my own personal experience, in my 20s, I was all fixated about getting a PhD, but I was not at all interested in everything else. Let me share actually a story that I came across recently. So there's a bus. So imagine life as a bus that everyone, and then they have the windows all drawn up. And everyone is trying to fight for the best seat on the bus. And all the meanwhile, they're passing up some of the most beautiful scenery that one could see. So the question is, do you want to pass up on all the beautiful things that you could see just for a better seat, the best seat on the bus? Or you have other choices?
That's amazing. I love that story. And one thing, speaking of love, you're going to pick up your lovely mom from the airport in just a little bit. You have to go. So I want to end with one question that I ask all my guests that I think is an important one, because we're all about sharing tools. And today in this moment with you, just like you said, I love this. I live for this. It's been amazing. But what we want the people listening to this is that when they're done listening, they should take action and do something. So what would be your best tool for them to get started on their dream, you know?
I would say focus on what you love to do in the first 2 hours after you wake up. And you may say, oh my God, CK, I don't have 2 hours. Okay, great. Start with 5 minutes. Do something you love. Do something that will set your self up for success first thing in the morning, because that first thing in the morning is so precious. You know, if you think about it this way, our willpower is really, really precious. We have very little of, you know, that willpower. You know, that one may say that willpower is what makes us uniquely human. What are you going to invest that little bit of willpower you have every day? Are you going to invest in checking email? Or are you going to invest in writing that book? Or, you know, pursue that hobby that just makes you come alive? Or cultivate relationships that makes you come alive, that makes you thrive? How you invest that little bit of willpower will determine the rest of your day, the rest of your week, the rest of a month, and the rest of your year, the rest of your decades, the rest of your life. Think compound interest. How you want to invest that little bit of willpower for the maximum return of time invested. Instead of ROI, think ROTI. Right. That would be the thing.
ROTI. What would that be? Return of time investment. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. CK, I wish we had more time. I hope to speak with you soon again because it's been an amazing conversation. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a lovely evening picking up your mom. And I think family is number one. So I love that you are saying, I gotta go. So yeah, and thank you everybody who listened to this episode. And I hope you got at least a couple of tools to improve your life. I got a couple of things. I'm gonna go back and listen again to learn even more. And I hope to spend more time with CK to learn even more because this is a wise guy. He's done a lot and he has a lot of time to think about this, and he's been helping a lot of successful people to improve their life. If you want to learn more about him, check out his podcast, The Noble Warrior.
Noblewarrior.com.
Noblewarrior.com. And if you like what I'm doing, check out ilovesuccess.co. Subscribe so you will get a couple of free chapters of my book about goal settings and also about finding balance in life. And I share this tools from people from all over the world that are super successful because we want to help you to achieve your dreams. And my dream is to help 10 million people in 10 years. And the only way to do that is by having you helping me out. So if you're on board, share this with someone you think that can benefit and just be part of our tribe here. Thanks again. Take care.